Matt's going to lead you through Psalm 145 today, where we're getting in the habit of praising God together, saying, praise God. So there's lots of psalms that do that, that will guide us in that. So if you turn to Psalm 145, it's page 302, or find it on your phone. We'll read it together as a people saying, thanks, God.
It's Psalm 145, verses 1 through 3, and verses 14 through 21. So, as we're reading together, make sure you don't continue on to verse 4. Jump to 14. I'm going to try to do this as fluid as possible, as if we've all practiced this over and over.
I have.
So, Psalm 145, verses 1 through 3, and 14 through 21. Let's read this. I will extol you, my God and my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him. He fulfills the desire of all those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Father, we recognize that you give us every good thing. We receive all the good that you have for us.
Amen. Yeah, so we are the people who praise God. We say thank you and praise him. So getting that habit is a good habit. It's what you're created to do. So let's praise him now by singing number 10, a classic, Just a Closer Walk. We haven't sung that one in a while. Let's stand and sing. Amen. You can be seated as we will be reading from the book of Matthew.
Our first reading today is Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, down on page 4. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times. But 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. So I realize you didn't have a microphone. So for people at home, that was Matthew 18, verse 21 through 35. Pretty amazing parable by Jesus. I think Jesus is being about as clear as he can be, saying forgiveness is the main thing for us. Well, as the church progresses, the Apostle Paul, one of the first church planters, is writing to the community in Rome. And so we'll be reading, we've been following his thoughts in the book of Romans. And this is our last one with him. We're already in chapter 14. So we'll be reading chapter 14, verse 1 through 12, where Paul is really summing up the letter. He's been very clear in all the chapters. So back in the day when you would read the book of Romans, it's really just a letter. So you would read the whole thing in one sitting. So all that he said in the first parts would be making sense, and then the end would kind of make sense. But we break it up, so we have to be reminded that the first 13 chapters of this book are all about how you are saved by faith. You are saved by the work of Christ applied to you by faith. You've been given a new heart that believes and a mouth that confesses Jesus Christ is Lord, and you are saved. And then he's been working out what that means for life together. So we're at the life together part, what we would call the active righteousness, where you aren't saved and you don't save anybody. You're saved by the passive work. You receive the work of Christ. Now we can say you're supposed to love each other. Before you receive the love of Christ, all of your love is selfish. You only love people to get something back. But when you receive the love of Christ, you actually love people because there's nothing they can give you. You are already getting it. So now you're just being a loving person. Here we go. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him. But not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. It's the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. All right. So the idea for today as we get going is we're all on the same team. Hey, we're all on the same team here. Okay? So kids, Jack. Nate, you looked at me. Good job. Lowry. Sabrina. Sage. How was your first day of school?
Yeah, it was okay.
It was okay. Who went to, did any of you go to do something that was brand new? So it was brand new to you?
Yes.
You went to high school?
I'm in high school, yeah.
Okay, and you went to a brand new school, Sage? So what did you do on your first day? When you're brand new to a place, what do you do? Got lost? How did you get found? She was wandering the school. Right. So how did it finally work out, or did you wander around all day?
Well, I finally realized that my schedule was all my classrooms on it,
Perfect.
And then I found my way around.
So she found her way around with some help. Sage was telling me a story. They had a one-way path, but her class was right to the left, but she had to walk like a mile to get to the class that was one because of all the new rules. But you figured that out too, the same way as Sabrina. You're like, okay, I have to read something. I have to, and then you probably followed other students, right, Sage?
Yeah.
Yeah, you follow other.
Students that weren't following it, though.
Right. There are students who weren't following it, but obviously you knew they were wrong, so you're like, okay. So your first day when you're doing something new, you have to always figure it out, right? And usually you look to people, you look to authority figures. So the Apostle Paul here is saying the church of Jesus Christ is something totally new, and no one really knows how to do it. Because the world, even to this day, uses demographic identifiers. We do demographics on where people are from. Are they rich? Are they poor? What color? What culture? And then we make decisions on those demographic markers on how to reach them. And everyone stays different. But the gospel, Paul says, all those demographic identifiers are exploded because of the work of Christ. That our primary identity now is we are children of God. Like Jesus came to save the Gentiles and the Jews. There's no separation, yet humanity, all we do is separate up into tribe. And then we only go into the other for some advantage. So even when planting a church, it's like, you better get the demographics and see what the people, which there's some wisdom to that. But in the church, that's blown up. We're all saved by Christ, passive work. We have put our faith in Christ. And now the only thing that marks us is we believe in Christ's life and his death and his resurrection. And so then we are a new people. And so Paul's writing to a new people in Rome. But guess what? It's really hard to be a new people when we're all coming from different backgrounds. We have different ideas. So you have the Jewish people and the Gentile people and the different Gentile coming together. And Paul says, you are marked by the gospel. You cannot let all these things. We are on the same team. We're all saved the same way. The temptation for us is going to take our traditions, take our cultural things, or our really spiritual ideas, things that work for us, and start to impose them on others as if that's how you're saved. And Paul says, don't do that. He says, when you come together, it's like your first day. Like, look to God, look to Christ to set you up now. You don't know. I was watching, have you watched Cesar Millan, The Dog Whisperer, lately? So good. It's such a comforting, like, he's so great. But one of the ones I watched was, these people had this like Shar Pei that had killed other little dogs. So, yeah, it was intense. And one of the things Caesar says is, okay, your dog's messed up because it's not feeling like a dog right now. It's very on edge. It's always fighting or flight. And we need to make it feel like a dog again. So Caesar has a pack. He has a pack of dogs that all look to him, and they're calmed by his energy. And then he has this this one called Junior. And Junior's, what's the pit bull? Junior's like the pack leader. So they introduced the really insecure killer Shar Pei to the pack. And immediately the Shar Pei's barking, rah, rah, and Caesar's like, don't worry. He's going to learn how to be a dog again by being with dogs. Don't worry, dog's barking. He's trying to dominate. But then Junior's just like standing there like smelling him, basically saying, we don't do that here. And all the other dogs are looking at this dog acting crazy. And over a couple minutes, the Shar Pei stops being a maniac, starts like smelling other dogs, being smelled, and even starts playing with the ball and is acting like a dog. And the people who had the dog were like, I can't believe it. How did you do this? And Caesar's just like, well, he just needed to remember he's a dog. Because with you, he thinks he's in control of everything. And it's too much for a dog. And so Paul is saying, look, in the church, we're reacclimating to, we have a master whose energy is calm and we're safe. And so we gather to sniff each other. Just relax. We're all part of the same pack. I like that feedback, Sage. We're all part of the same pack. We're on the same team. get to be a human again. It's different in the church because we're safe. And so now that we're safe, what do? Well, he starts off, he says, first of all, know that you were chosen for this team. We're all part of the same team. God chose you. He's given you your jersey. You're on the team. So right away, he says, as for one who is weak in faith, welcome him. Don't fight over opinions. We're on the same team. So we'll fight over, the thing we fight over is if anyone messes with how you are saved, we fight over that. So if it's like, oh, you're saved by doing good works, we say, no, you're saved by Jesus. But we're all under that, okay? We're all there. So now, all the different opinions, don't fight over. It's not worth it. Because we already know we're saved by faith in Christ. And so what's interesting here, you know who the weak Christian is? In this specific scenario, the Gentiles were growing up in Gentile places where they sacrifice meat to gods. And those gods, lowercase g, turn out to be demons, not at all the true God. God has saved them out of that. Now they're a Christian. And now they're going to church with a Jew or some other Gentile who are just, it was just going to the market and eating that food. And this person says, probably like me, I would say I'm a weak one. I would say, don't eat that meat. That's bad. It's been sacrificed to idols. You don't want to bring that into your house. You don't want to put that in your body. Don't do it. But you see, that's a good thing for me. I shouldn't eat it. That's my conscience. But if I start to say to you, don't eat that meat, it's going to fill you with demons. And you're like, well, I'm now the strong Christian says, well, Christ has made me free to eat whatever. Christ has set me free from those demons so I can eat that meat and give thanks to him. Christ has set me free. So I'm going to eat it. Do you see how, like, now it's easy for us to start going, well, we're really spiritual, and we're going to judge you who eat the meat. And then the people who are eating the meat are usually the ones who've been around longer and go, oh, no, we're free to eat it. It's okay. God is big. But then they'll despise the weak, and the weak will judge the strong. And Paul says, don't do that. In fact, he says, who are you to pass judgment on another servant? Like, do you go up to somebody and you start telling them how to do their job as if you're their boss? You don't tell another servant how to do their job. And same within the church. Matters of opinion about what's spiritual or what's working for you, let it work for you. But don't impose it on somebody else. Nothing worse. Have you ever played a sport where I call them, when you play soccer, there's always a player ref, a person who thinks he's a ref and a player. So every time the ball goes out, it's out. It's our ball. And you're like, dude, there's a ref. We've all agreed to the boundaries. We've agreed to the rules. And we've agreed to this person to make the calls. So please be quiet. But they play the whole game like that. Handball. He did it. Offside. Are you going to call it? Like, they're just complaining the whole time. Paul's like, don't be like that. Because it's not fun. It's not fun to play like that. It's not fun to play with people like that. He's like, stop it. Stop putting a stumbling block in the others. Don't judge them. God will judge them. And here's the beauty of it. He will uphold them. The Lord is able to make them stand. So if I'm really concerned about you eating meat, I'm a vegetarian because I'm super spiritual. I'm speaking as a person from this. I'm not a vegetarian in real life. But in this character, the super spiritual, we are vegetarians, and we're going to separate from the meat eaters. Paul's like, don't, you're on the same team. Don't do that. I was thinking of, and it literally says, let not the one who eats despise, and let not the one who doesn't eat judge. I was thinking, what's the opposite of despise and judge? And I was thinking about our culture. Right now, we have lots of opinions. It's easy, like if you're following and you have more rules, you judge those who don't follow the rules. And if you don't have many rules, you despise with contempt. You look down on those people who have all these rules, right? We have that. It's not maybe meat and vegetables right now. It's maybe political opinions or how we're going to navigate things. I don't even need to say it. The opposite of despise, someone does it different, would be to esteem. The opposite of judge, what's the opposite to judge? Oh, accept, that's pretty good. Yeah, accept, pardon. I was thinking, if you're not a judge, you're a participant, right? But you're right, all those are exactly right. So we're called to recognize we're all participants under Christ. You answer to Christ, I'll answer to Christ. And guess what? Christ is the one who makes you stand. Christ is the one who's working with you. He's showing mercy to you. But you're on the team, okay? So don't spend your time judging one another. Be on the same team. In fact, figure out your own position on the team. This is what's cool, is that he says each person esteems one day as better than another. So now he's going to talk to the Jews. So at first he was talking to Gentiles with the meat and the vegetables. Now he turns to the Jewish folks who grew up with sacred days, with Passover, with Sabbath. And remember, Paul's not saying you don't have to change all that. There's a situation where Paul actually, he circumcised Timothy because no one was using circumcision as salvation, but then he refused to circumcise Titus in his community because everyone was saying you have to get circumcised to be saved. So that it's okay to have traditions. It's okay to have the Jewish upbringing where you're going to celebrate these days. It's okay, but it's not okay to make it salvation. It's not saving you. It's not okay, whether you're abstaining or doing it, to make that your source of salvation. So he says that's why whatever you're doing, figure out your own position and do it before the Lord. So if you're going to eat the meat, give thanks and honor God by eating the meat. If you're going to take that Sabbath day or you're going to do that thing that you've always done, then do it as unto the Lord. Enjoy it. You're doing it before God. And you don't have to destroy others if they're going to do it and you're not going to do it. I think of this is where we get in your position, there's freedom. There's freedom to be who you're going to be. I think about all the young parents, right? Everyone's having a baby or has had a baby or you're around babies. And you know what's hard? What's the hardest thing about parenting? Parenting. Yeah, sleep. That's always the dad answer. The mom's like, what to do? Because the mom actually cares for these kids. So does the dad. The dad, if he's a good dad, he cares for the wife because she needs to be cared for as she's caring for the kids. It all works together. Everyone relax. Don't judge. We have different opinions. Parenting, though, you never know. I feel bad for the parents who have the internet now because I had kids before the internet was a big thing. So you just made a decision and you lived with it. And you said, this is my decision. Dear God, I have faith. We're going to put the baby on its belly. My mom says, no, on the back. But the doctors say on the belly. Mom says, I'm going to make it a decision. We're going to live by it. Dear God. Now, of course, you have the internet. So it's like 30,000 say this, 30,000 say, I don't know how. You have to make a decision and have faith. And that's where we're at in this section of, look, God's, we're on the same team. And we're trying to, apart from being saved, we're trying to figure it out with our conscience. Your conscience doesn't save you because your actions don't save you, but we have a conscience, which means here's what I think is good. Dear God, thank you. Bless it. So we have a conscience. We do the best we can to make decisions. Otherwise, we get stuck by analysis paralysis, and you'll never make a decision, and you'll never do anything. And especially if you're looking for everyone to agree with you, you will not. People will disagree, and we're allowed to disagree, but we're not allowed to put a stumbling block and say, you're parenting wrong, or you're doing this Christianity wrong, and now you're not saved. Don't do that. Paul's like, please don't do that. He says, in fact, we live to each other. We use our position that he's given us to forgive and to love. And so what we're trying to do is help others grow in the faith and say, you made that decision. Let's pray that that works. I did it this way. You did it that way. But we're praying that it all works out for you. That's why Paul says, look, we live to the Lord. We live as unto him. And then you find out there's only one judgment that matters. So it doesn't matter if people judge you. doesn't matter if you judge yourself. There's only one judgment that matters. Look at verse 10. We come back to, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. This is something in the scriptures, that there is a day when every knee shall bow, whether you believed it or not, whether you worked against it or worked for it, you're going to all bow and confess Jesus Christ is Lord. So there is one judgment you should worry about. And that's for when you're judging others, slow down. You're going to have to talk to the Lord. That's not your job. Your position on the team is to love and forgive. In fact, thinking about your position, you're on the team. Don't judge the new people coming in. Don't judge the, help them grow. Learn your position. Your number one position, your number one, like the basics you need to learn to play this position well is forgiveness. That's it. It's like on soccer. If I have to be able to dribble the ball and pass. You got to. You need to know your job. Do your job on your team. Forgiveness. Master forgiveness. And then come back and see me. I'll tell you what's next. Because if you master forgiveness, I'll tell you what's next. Heaven, you've died and you're already resurrected because you've mastered forgiveness. It's what we aspire to. It's what we work towards. It's what we encourage. That's the job on the team. This is how we win as a team, is we announce, repent and receive forgiveness in Christ Jesus. He'll do the judging. He'll do the punishing. And he says, now play your position, because there's going to be a day where Jesus says the words that always scare me, or used to scare me as a kid, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Jesus is going to have a moment with you. He's like, hey, can I talk to you for a second? I want to watch the film on the game, and we're going to watch how you played. See that verse where he says, so then each of us will give account of himself to God. You're going to give account for yourself to God. You're going to give an account on how you played. That's nervy, as they say in England. That was a nervy play. Should make you a little nervous, right? Hey, can we talk? So you've been around long enough, hopefully. How do you think, what's one way to understand this? There's two legitimate ways to understand your account. You have an account manager, right? At the bank, you have an account before God. First and foremost, what do you need to know about this account? Good job. It's paid for. Yeah, you've racked up a lot of debt. But you've met someone who's paid it. And he's given you his account. So you have to understand when you read these verses, there's two ways, because first of all, the account you will give of yourself will be to say, I trusted in Jesus' account. And God's like, oh, I know. Your account's paid for in full. So know that. Rest in that. Thank God for that. That goes back to the story Matt read with a guy who owes about 50 years worth of wages. He gets it forgiven. Your debt is forgiven. You owe more than you could ever pay back in a life. But it's forgiven. But then what did that guy do? If you can remember the story, he then went out and started asking for smaller amounts from people who owed him. So what does that tell you about him? He didn't believe that his debt was forgiven. He thought he still had to pay something back, so he's trying to continue to get. He doubted that he was forgiven, and he became someone asking and demanding for things to be given to him. And then what happens? He gets busted. He has to account to the king again. And the king says, you're going to jail. Why did you do this? I let you go. Why didn't you just go free and be happy? Why did you all of a sudden start demanding from everybody else? Now you're locked up. And then Jesus says, as if that's not bad enough, he goes, yeah, that's how it is in my kingdom. That if you can't forgive others, that means you didn't believe or trust that you were forgiven. you thought you still needed to go out and take care of yourself, and you became a judge. You became God and said, I'm going to judge you, and I'm going to demand from you because you have no assurance or faith that you've been forgiven. And that's why Jesus says, look, that's not how we live in my kingdom. You are the people who have received, and now you go out and you forgive lavishly, ridiculously, because you have a Father who takes care of you. And Jesus says, that's how it works in my kingdom. So if you're so angry and so mad and you're demanding people pay you back all the time, just know that when you go to God and you meet him, the only judgment that matters, he's going to say, do you even know me? Because chances are you will go, oh, I did this and I did this and I did that. And he goes, I never knew you. The one who God knows, when you have to watch the film of your life with him, is the one who says, dear Jesus, I always just trusted you. You forgave me, right? He goes, yeah, right on. So we go before God, not scared of this day. Christ has paid your full account, but he's still going to look at your life. It's not like, oh, now we don't look at your life at all. It didn't matter. It's just like when I got, when I went to seminary, early 2000s, saved up money, went to seminary, and about a month in, I realized I'm not making any money, and the money I saved is going to be gone like in 2 minutes. So I think I'll drop out after like one class. I did like summer Greek, and I'm like, well, I'll postpone this. But you've heard the story if you've been around. I randomly got selected by some guy in Tennessee who decided years ago he would pay for someone at seminary who had kids, who was going into ministry, going to be a pastor. He would just pay everything. Somehow my name came up, and I got it. So I went up, met the guy. He said, I'm going to pay for your books. I'm going to pay for your how much does it cost you to drive to the school? I'll pay for that. We'll pay for everything. And I was like, wow, thank God. My account is, I don't even have to worry about my account. For 3 years, I went to school, and it was paid for. Thousands of dollars, $30,000 at least. Amazing, right? My account paid for. Praise Jesus. Now, over the next 3 years, while I did that, do you think that guy cared about what I did? Do you think he cared a little bit about, like, did you go to seminary? Did you go into ministry? Yeah, he cared a little bit. And what's cool is I am able to go back and say, thank you for your gift. With your gift, I finished school, and I've started a church, and I'm praying for people, and I'm announcing the gospel. It's so awesome. And he's like, that's what I wanted. Awesome. I'm so happy for you. He's not saying, pay me back. He's not saying, are you still working on it? He's saying, oh, so you used it. And do you see, you will give an account. You will go before Jesus, not for judgment, but he will say, oh, you received my account. You received my son, Jesus. Praise God. What did you do with it? Tell me about it. And he's excited. Did you forgive people? How did you invest? Did you invest for 100-fold, for 30-fold, for just 1-fold? Did you love your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad? Did you love just one person and give forgiveness? Did you use what I gave you? And that's where you go, well, I don't know. And he's like, well, here's what I see. And you either did, or you're like, well, no, I just used you to get free accounts so I could do whatever I want. So, like, there is some fear. But here's what we do with the fear. Enjoy what he's given you. We don't have to wait till that last day when Jesus says, hey, can I talk to you for a second? I was looking at the film. We lost. You don't have to wait for that day. You already had that day. You actually had that day today when we said, forgive me in thought, word, and deed. I have not loved you with my whole heart. See, we rest in repentance. We repent daily. We have that conversation. Go, God, I know I haven't done everything. Will you help me? And he says, I forgive you. That's our daily conversation. When it says you will give an account, you've given an account today. I haven't done everything, Lord, but I love you. And I receive forgiveness. Thank you. And now we're doing the best we can to work it out. Don't judge each other. Encourage one another. You're on the same team. we win. And so as we go, there's going to be weak, new Christians, old Christians, cool Christians, nerd Christians. It doesn't matter. We have to say, Christ has forgiven me. I can forgive you. And he's like, oh, I love that. Jesus loves that. I don't know if you ever think about forgiveness that way. Like, he's just like the dude who gave me money to go in. He is excited, like, I helped a pastor. Just like you're excited whenever you help someone. They did the thing. My kid passed that math class. Praise Jesus. That's a bigger miracle than the Red Sea. That's what you wanted for. Jesus wants you to be a person who carries forgiveness and worships him. We win. So we're on the same team. Don't fear that day. You have a good account. And try to enjoy the account he's given you. Use it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thankful for the good news that you've chosen us. You've renewed our hearts. You've endowed us with love. And you've prepared us to talk to you. We are not ashamed, for our faith is in Christ, who died and rose again, who took our sin. We rest in that. We thank you for the forgiveness. And Lord, help us and to forgive others. Help us to focus on that part of the Lord's Prayer as we pray it today, where we forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Thanks for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's confess together what it is we believe. So in the Apostles' Creed, page B, we have our faith in God, who's creator. We have our faith in Christ, the Redeemer, and our faith that the Holy Spirit is working in us to produce forgiveness and love. And so we confess together. Christian, what is it that you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So we take this time now to pray. If you have a prayer request, feel free to write it down. We'll pray for it throughout the week. Or if there's one that you want prayer with the whole group today, please feel free to share or let us know right now, and we'll pray for you. But that's one of the benefits of being on this team, is that we go to our Father on behalf of others, and he hears us. Our faith is that he hears us. In fact, more and more, I'm realizing that we have the God who hears our cry. He responds to your prayers. He's not deaf, which is really nice, because every other power structure can't hear us, not on a daily basis. So we'll continue to pray for health and for jobs and for emotional health, as the world is still weird. And there's grabs. We're in the middle of a power season, is what I call it, where there's grabs for power. And the power that people are grabbing for feels ultimate. It feels like this is real power. And so we are the people who remember God is the one who created all authority structures. Our God has handled some pretty amazing things throughout history. He's disarmed some pharaohs, some Neros who thought they were God, and our God will navigate and be our authority and our power no matter what. So don't be deceived. Whatever your opinion is, we love and forgive you for it. Because we ultimately belong to a God who's all-powerful. But I feel like we need to pray to remember that. Because it's hard. All right. I'll pray. Is there anything we ought to pray for? Cool. We'll pray and then we'll say the Lord's Prayer together after I finish this. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you that you are the God of heaven and earth, that all eyes look to you and you give us our food in due season, that you open your hand to us and satisfy the desires of our hearts. You are the God who provides everything. You are the God who has all power, and you have made yourself known by grace through Jesus Christ loving us, and we settle under that, and we thank you. And we praise you. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. You are the God who has saved us. You are saving us and you will save us. And so it's with that thanks and praise we give you our request. We come before you as children and we ask that you would take away this spirit of the orphan where we feel like we have to do everything ourselves. And we ask for the spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Abba, Father, Holy Spirit, pour into us now the ability to come to you with whatever is on our heart and our mind now and say, Abba, Father, Daddy, would you please help? Would you heal us, Lord? Would you heal our bodies? Would you restore health? Would you restore the hope for health? Lord, would you restore peace where we need forgiveness? Would you give us forgiveness? Would you give us the forgiveness for others that we wouldn't be tormented or angry? Would you set us free with your steadfast love and mercy? Lord, would you hear our cry for work? Provide for us. You are the one who provides. Our jobs are what we're called to do to love people. But remind us of that. It's so hard. Help us. And Lord, help us during these seasons where the world and all of its concerns seem so loud and seem real and seem ultimate, but they aren't. They are as a breath. They're all the same ideas that have been around for ages, and they always caused wars, and they always did the same thing, but we have a God that has overcome that. So would you minister to our hearts when we're scared or when we're starting to get upset with people who have different opinions? To remember, oh yeah, you're the God who saves. You're the God who has all power and authority. You're the God who loves us. And that our opinions don't have to separate us. We're connected by the work of Christ, empowered by his love. Remind us of that. Because we're weak, Lord, and we're so easily wrapped up in it. Set us free. And then, Lord, we pray, bless our homes. Bless our church. Bless your people, Lord, first and foremost, because I'm called to take care of my own kids first. So bless us, and then, Lord, move us to be kind and loving to the world that rejects you, that mocks you. You give us that kind of love for them. And we pray for the systems, the corrupt systems, all systems of government that start to think they are God, that start to think they can change hearts. Lord, forgive them. And you bless us. You provide for us. We look to you now and we trust you. Hear our prayer in your mercy. We pray all this in Jesus Christ's holy name as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. So we pray together the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We're going to now prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. Christ invites us. We've received forgiveness. We've received his word of promise. It says, I've forgiven you and given you my account. And now we receive his promise to say, you are forgiven and part of the family through the Lord's Supper. Matt's going to lead us through that. Oh. Is that okay?
I figured I didn't have a microphone, so. But that's okay. I will do it.
God's given you a voice.
Perfect. Well, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, this is my body given for you. Take and eat of it in remembrance of me. Likewise, he took the cup, and after blessing it, he poured it out and said, this is my blood, which is the new covenant, which represents the forgiveness of sins, poured out for you. Take and drink of it in remembrance of me. Lord, thank you for uniting us together. You unite us through your body and your blood, that we become members of your body and your blood through this meal. That you reset us and join us together despite all of our differences of opinions. That you go deeper than our surface opinions and thoughts and ideas, and you give us a new heart.
Body of Christ, broken for you, Anthony and Walker. True body of Christ, broken for you. Body of Christ, given for you. Aya. She started to, though. Yeah. She saw the other kids. The pack, she saw the pack. Christ's body, given for you. Josh, Becky, Kaylee, Matt, Thomas, Lauren, Christ's body given for you. True body of Christ given for you, Papa. Body of Christ given for you. True body of Christ given for you. Good. We need more. I need 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Well, so here, give that to Nate. I need like 5 more. Okay, we'll do the one, and then that will get us. And grape juice is on the inside. That's wine. Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you, Nate. We'll get you guys. True blood of Christ shed for you, Jack and Lindsay. True blood of Christ shed for you, Cal. True blood of Christ shed for you, Jeremy, Tara, Zenon. True blood of Christ shed for you. Get the wine while you can. True blood of Christ shed for you. There's no trading. Just twist it. There we go. Water bottles. True blood of Christ. So we need those two. And here we go. Thanks. Yeah. The body of Christ for you. True blood of Christ shed for you.
Yeah, it's all grape.
It's all grape juice. Split it with me. Thanks. Here you go, Matt. Here's the body. All right. The true body of Christ given for you. Take and eat of it.
Likewise, true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes again. Let's sing.
All right.